In chapter 4, we pick up the same story. It says, the priests and the captains of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. Actually, came up to them while they were speaking. And they said they were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. So you got to understand something. Just from that comment, Peter and John, when they were preaching, when they were talking to the crowds, they weren't saying, oh man, bring everyone who's sick, everyone who's got cancer, everyone's a leper, just bring them here and we'll heal them and stuff like that. You see, Peter and John aren't necessarily concerned with the physical realm of our life right here and now. That's what we're so consumed with. I mean, we are consumed with it. Our comfort, our health, all the different things that are going on in our world, we are absolutely, you realize that? We are consumed with this world. Consumed. But what was Peter and John really talking to him about? Yeah, it was cool that the guy was healed, but what he's talking about is what life is really about. The resurrection. Because that's when life really begins. If we spent a third of the time preparing for our eternal life as we do trying to make this life comfortable, you want me to say that again? If we would spend one third, okay, a quarter, okay, one tenth, just a tithe of our time, energy, and resources preparing our eternal life as we do our comforts and our concerns and our worries in the present life, whoo, it would be amazing. Our life would be changed like that. Literally, our lives today would be changed like that. And so what Peter and John were preaching about was not bring all your sick and we'll get everyone healed up here and you know there won't be any more problems. He wasn't preaching that. He was preaching the resurrection of the dead. He was looking forward to what Christ really did, which was give us a new life. Not take care of all the concerns of this life, but give us a new life that is to come. And when we focus on that new life and put our hopes and dreams and put our resources towards that, this life falls into place, guys. It becomes what it was intended to be. Just the transfer station to what God really intended us to have in life. And that's to be in His presence. That's life. You see, death, if you want to know what death is separation from God. That's not death. Ceasing to breathe, ceasing for your brain to function, and all the things that we have in the hospitals and stuff like that, that's not death. Death is when you are eternally separated from God. Wow, this is going nowhere like I thought this morning. I mean, nowhere. I had no idea this was coming. Here we go. That's death. The only way to avoid eternal separation from God comes through one name, Jesus. He's the cure for the death sentence. And that's what Peter is talking about to all these people in this thing. But see, the Sadducees and the chief priests and the captain of the guard, they don't like it. They don't like this whole resurrection thing because Sadducees, they don't even believe in the resurrection of the dead. The Sadducees don't believe in angels. They don't believe in demons. They don't believe in any of this afterlife stuff. There's a really neat confrontation later on in Acts with Paul. I love Paul because I think Paul and I would have got along really good because he kind of likes stirring the stink every once in a while. See, he was kind of in trouble, and he was in court, and there were Pharisees and Sadducees there, and they were arguing about Paul and what he was doing, and all of a sudden Paul says, I'm on trial because I'm a Pharisee, and I believe in the resurrection of the dead. And all of a sudden the Pharisee says, yeah, I believe that same thing. And Sadducees says, no, we don't believe that. And so they start arguing amongst themselves. And I bet Paul's just sitting there going, oh, man, that was a good one. I got everyone. They were still trying to tear Paul apart at that point in time. But see, the Sadducees in Acts chapter 4, they didn't believe in the resurrection of the dead. They didn't believe in any of this afterlife stuff. It was here and now. What God was going to do was bless Israel, and we were going to be the great nation, and we were going to set up this kingdom on earth. And it's a here and now, it's a here and now, it's a here and now. And that's kind of where we're at. I think a lot of times if we had to kind of put ourselves in the Pharisee or Sadducee camp, I think a lot of us would be really, we'd all say, oh, yeah, I believe in angels and I believe in demons, but really we live like we're Sadducees because we're putting all of our time and energy into the world now. Now. Not investing in what's to come. So they get all upset with Peter and John and they arrest them. Verse 3 says, they seized Peter and John because it was evening, and they put them in jail until the next day. You know what? Boy, I'm just going off on all kinds of tangents here this morning, but I wonder what Peter and John were thinking about when they got thrown in jail for the first time here. Were they thinking back to Luke chapter 21 when Jesus says, you know what's going to happen? This is what Jesus said to them in Luke chapter 21. He said this. He says, nation will rise against nation. I'm in verse 10. If you guys want to put it up on the screen, you're welcome to. Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, famines, pestilence, various places, and fearful events and great signs from heaven. I read that kind of nonchalantly because it's pretty nonchalant to Jesus, because all those things, as big as horrible and tragedy instilling that it is in our lives, he's like, earthquake, pestilence, plague. It really doesn't mean a whole lot because what? Guess what? This earth is not your home. As bad as they are, the main focus of your life still should be on Jesus. Because if the earthquake comes and you're in Jesus, you're okay. If the pestilence comes and you're in Jesus, you're okay. If the plague comes, you're okay. If someone comes up and puts a gun to your head and says, denounce the name of Jesus, and you say, I believe in Jesus, guess what? You're more than okay. You're in good shape. See, it's in Jesus. And then he says, but before all this, they will lay hands on you, they will persecute you, they will deliver you to synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors, and all on account of my name. Not because of the miracles you did, but on the account of my name, Jesus says. This will result in your being witnesses to them. But make up your mind not to worry beforehand how you will defend yourselves. For I will give you words and wisdom that none of your adversaries will be able to resist or contradict. You'll be betrayed even by parents and brothers and relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. And all men will hate you because of me, Jesus says. But not a hair of your head will perish. By standing firm, you will gain life. So Peter and John, they get thrown in jail. Acts chapter 4. They get thrown in jail, have to spend the night in jail. I've never spent a night in jail. I hope I never do. But you never know. Might be a great opportunity. Okay, so they're thrown in jail. The next day, the rulers, the elders, and the teachers of the law meet in Jerusalem. Ananias, the high priest, was there, and so was Caiaphas, and John, Alexander, and other men of the high priest family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them, by what power or what name did you do this, they asked. Then Peter, just according to Jesus' promise back in Luke chapter 21, then Peter, in the power filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people. I feel like I should do one of these things with my hands in my little vest pocket. Rulers and elders of the people. I just like the way he's taking control of this. If we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a cripple and are asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God has raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. He didn't mince words, did he? They said they wanted to know by what power and what name he did this. He says it's by the power and the name of Jesus that he's healed, that this happened. And then he adds, he is the stone you builders rejected, which has now become the capstone. Salvation, I love this. If you don't hear anything else today, hear this. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Say that with me. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. The name of Jesus. I will not back down from that. I will not compromise that. If it was just Peter who said that, okay, maybe we need to question it. But it was Jesus who said it first. It was him. In John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus says, very plainly, I am the way. Definite article, the way. I am the truth. I am the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. You had it with me. Very good. He said it first. So here we got a choice. He either is a liar or he is the Son of God. He is either the great deceiver or he is our hope and our salvation, and there is no other name and no other way. I believe with all my heart that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. I believe there is no other name under heaven by which men may come to God. It's through the name of Jesus. The world can say whatever it wants to say. They can call me whatever they want to call me. They can say I'm a bigot, a hypocrite, intolerant. What is the other things they want to say? I'm not politically correct. Don't want to be, never have been, never will be. Am I condemning everyone else? No. I'm not. I'm saying Jesus is the way. And I made my choice, and you get to make yours. I can't force you, won't force you, don't even want to force you to accept Jesus. And you're all thinking, Elton Iyer made this decision, why are you telling me? Because at some point in time, we may have the opportunity, like Peter and John, to stand up and be a force. And have the choice whether we have to deny the name of Jesus or stand firm. And I'm going to tell you, the riches of standing firm far exceed the punishment for collapsing or denying. If you need healing, it comes through the name of Jesus. That healing is not always the way that we want it. It's the way that he designed it. And he purposed for a reason. So Peter stands up. He just lays it out. Just lays it out to these learned guys who spend all day long. All day they stand studying the scriptures and looking at all the details and getting these arguments about all these different things within the scripture. They do it all day. That's what their job is. That drives me crazy. It says, when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, that's a nice way of saying idiots, they were astonished. And they took note that these men had been with Jesus. But since they could see the man who had been healed standing there with them, there was nothing they could say. Does that sound familiar? Does anyone remember what I read in Luke chapter 21 when Jesus says, I will set you before governors and all these other, and I will give, you know, I'll give you the word to say, don't worry about what you're going to say. And they won't be able to stand against your argument. They won't be able to say a word. And here's the most learned men in the religious community today. And they're like, They can't deny it. So they ordered them to withdraw from the Sanhedrin, and they conferred together what they're going to do with these men. And they asked, everybody in Jerusalem knows they've done an outstanding miracle. They still don't get it. Peter said it over and over again. They didn't do anything. It was the name of Jesus. They still don't get it. Have done an outstanding miracle, and we cannot deny it. You can't deny it. Anyway, but to stop this thing from spreading any further, because we sure wouldn't want anyone else healed, right? That would be horrible. That would just be absolutely awful if disease started getting eradicated from the earth. Wow, that'd be awful. It would be so horrible if marriages all of a sudden were thriving and beautiful the way God intended them to be. It would just be, wouldn't that be horrible? Oh my goodness, that would just be awful. It'd be awful if the insane asylums were, they were empty. Now, what would we do with all these people? Hallmark might go out of business if we didn't have to go buy cards and roses to make up for our mistakes. Our economy would have collapsed. You know what I'm saying? It'd be awful if we just would put it in the name of Jesus. Do what he's calling us to do. Be the real men and women that he designed us to be. Sounds like chaos to me. What about you? Gotta stop this thing from spreading any further among the people. We must warn these men never to speak no longer anyone in his name. They couldn't even say the name of Jesus because it might actually affect them a little bit. Then they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, I love this. Judge for yourselves whether it is right in God's sight to obey you rather than God. For we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. We can't help it. It's just oozing out of our pores. It's like a high. It is. It's like a high when you get to experience it. Does anyone know what I'm talking about? Raise your hand if you know what I'm talking about. It's like a high. Don't be afraid. No one's going to put a gun to your head right now or anything like that. It's like a high that God gives you that opportunity. He works through you. He creates an opportunity to share the gospel in some even little way. And you did it, and you really messed up, and it was bad, and they kind of looked at you really funny, and you walked away and went, wow, I did it. He did it through me. I don't know where that came from. Cool. It's a high. We can't help but speak. But after further threats, they let him go, and they could not decide how to punish them, because all the people were praising God, which is exactly what they should be doing, praising God for all that what had happened. For the man who was miraculously healed was over 40 years old. They didn't know what to do with him. So they said, don't go talk about Jesus no more. Get out of here. So, I am so glad I was not Peter and John because you know what I would have done? Because I'm not a very nice person. I probably would have walked out of that room and I probably would have found the first brick I could stand on and started proclaiming the name of Jesus. It's probably what I would have done. Right? Some of you know me. I'm not very smart. I would have defied that probably as quick as I could, walked out, found the first place I could, and started preaching in the name of Jesus again, trying to catch that high. And I wouldn't have blamed him. It would have made a good story. Probably would have got arrested again, maybe started a riot. That's not what Peter and John did, and this is what struck me so big this week, what they did do. They walked out. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people. They went back to the church, to the gathering. And they reported all the chief priests and elders had to say to them. They told them the truth. They said, you know what, guys? We're in a bad situation because you know, when Jesus was here, he told us that we are to submit to the authorities. You remember he paid the temple tax? Told him to go out, get the fish, open his mouth, take out the denarius, give to Caesar what is Caesar. Respect authorities. We're kind of in a pickle here. Because the authorities, and this is, I don't know how the conversation went, but it was pretty close to this. Authorities told us that we're not supposed to talk in the name of Jesus anymore. Rob was there. He said, oh, we're supposed to talk to him. And then he got everyone stirred up because Ben over there, he's a big guy. He says, yeah, well, you go out and preach. We'll stand beside you. And we'll make sure nobody comes. We'll do it. Right? You got my back, right, bro? All right. That's what I wanted to hear. Don't fall on me, though, all right? Because it wouldn't be pretty. No, it wouldn't. It's not what they did. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer. In prayer. When they hit the obstacle, they didn't rely on themselves and their own power and their own understanding. They went to the one who did the miracle, who had the power, who had the ability. They didn't try to solve it. They didn't try to fix it. Doesn't say they got on their knees, but I bet they did. And they prayed. This is what they prayed. It said, Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth. You know why the song meant so much to me this morning? You made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. And you spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. You spoke through him. When he said these words, why did the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? Why do the kings of the earth take their stand and rulers gather together against the Lord and against his anointed one? It's nothing new, guys. It's nothing new. We think it's new. We think there's some new attack going on. It's nothing new. Should we be afraid? We shouldn't be afraid. Can I let you in on a little secret? Some of you already know it. You just need to be reminded of it. Jesus wins. Okay? He wins. Guaranteed. There's not even a question of whether Jesus wins or not. He wins. The world can make all kinds of plans. They can gather an army of billions to stand against the one man named Jesus, and it would be a lopsided battle. Do you hear me? There's no reason to fear. And I'm not saying some of you are reading political things into what I'm saying right now that I'm really not saying. Because we've been so inundated with the press and our media and stuff like that. Guys, you need to focus on one thing. Have I said enough yet today? Jesus. You need to invest in your relationship with Jesus. You need to take your resources that he's provided you and invest them in, I didn't say Walnut Community Bible Church, I didn't say The Rock, I didn't say any of those things, but I'm saying you need to invest your resources that he gave you in his kingdom. You need to take the time that he gives you every day and use some of it for him, if not all of it. The time that you spend worrying and plotting and thinking and conniving and going around in circles and wondering and worrying and upset and all, you know what? You need to spend just a portion of that time, if not all of it, thinking that he calmed the waters. He walked on the waters. He calmed the sea. He stood in the fire beside me. There's no other name. Is this getting through? Huh? The Listen to what he prays. The earth and the sea and everything in them, you made them. You did it. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand, and the rulers gather together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod, see, Peter and John were putting it in their time. We could put it in our time. Indeed, you want, I won't do that. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Can you imagine that? It was all part of his plan. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. It says, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. They were all, if you have a little pen, underline, all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they all spoke the word of God boldly. You see what happened? You see what happened there? And maybe I'm just being very obvious and you all know and you just want me to shut up and sit down, but I'm going to tell you what happened in case you missed it, because what could have happened is Peter and John could have walked out of the Sanhedrin and stood on a little rock somewhere and proclaimed the name of Jesus boldly. Or he could have gone to the church and complained, you know what, they told us that we can't speak in the name of Jesus. And Rob and Ben could have stood up and said, Peter and John, you go right ahead, we got your back. And they could have gone out and they could have spoke the word boldly, Peter and John. Maybe gain a couple more thousand followers. But they prayed. And they put the power and the control in God's hands, not their own. And not only did Peter and John walk out of that place speaking boldly, they all did. To the corners of the earth. Say God gave his answer whether they should conform to man's rules or his. He gave his answer. He placed that Holy Spirit in everyone who was gathered in that room, and they went out and spoke boldly because they could do nothing else. Because when the Holy Spirit is dwelling in you and urging you and empowering you, you can't do anything else. Believe me, I know. I want to be home at bed right now. I do. I want to be home, curled up in a little ball, with my eyes bawling and my nose running, not from a cold. I'm not sick in any way, shape, or form. I just want to be away from everybody. Seriously. But I have no other choice. And I guarantee it's not because you give me a check twice a month. It's because it burns. I want you to know the truth. And I want you to proclaim the truth. We're going to do something really weird. No, it's not really weird. If this is really weird in church, we should be kicked out and not even be called a church. We're going to do something we don't normally do. We're going to pray this prayer together. All of us. If you choose to. We're going to have it up on the screen. A lot of pressure, Katie. Whew, you up for it? She's hiding behind the screen. I can only see the top of her hair right now. You up for it? All right. I'm going to close my Bible. We're all going to look at the screen together, so we're all saying the same thing at the same time. We don't do this like often enough, and we're going to stumble, and we're going to sound really silly, because some will read faster, and some will read slower, and some, you know. Anyway, we're going to do it. I'm going to invite you to read it with us. But be careful, because it might not rock the building. I'd like to say it'd be pretty cool if it did, but it kind of scared me too, really bad. I might have to go change my pants if the building started rocking. I got this pole, you got to go find your own, all right? Might not rock the building, but it may rock the house, the dwelling place of God. And I pray that it does. I pray it rocks this house to the point that you can't contain it. And you go out and speak boldly. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. And this is what they said. Together, they said this. Sovereign Lord, you made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant David, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand and the rulers gather together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. Heavenly Father God, you are able. You are more than we place all things in your hands. And we ask for your amazing will to happen. We ask, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that you would rock our worlds, that you would shake the junk out that doesn't need to be there, that you would allow it to rock in such a way, Lord, that the house would be clean and we would be awakened by a mighty shake to the things that you're calling us to do. And you would scare the you would scare the doubt right out of us. And we would live boldly, without fear, without hesitation, for you and you alone. You are a mighty God, and we thank you and praise you. In the name above all names, the only name that has the power to accomplish exceedingly more than what I could hope for or imagine in my life. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And all those who gathered and agreed said, Amen. We're going to sing a song. I don't know why, but it seems appropriate. And you got to decide what you're doing. You know, there's a point in everyone's life that you have to choose who you're going to serve. Who was it? Was it Joshua? Was it David? You remember Joshua, wasn't it? The question was asked. He proposed it to all of Israel. He says, at some point in time, you got to choose. He says, but as for me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to let him rock my world. Put my priorities in the place that's going to have eternal consequences. I'm going to serve him. Be true to him. Acknowledge him and be bold for him. Amen?
Amen.
It's easy to say amen. It's time to do it. Step out in faith. Be true to what he's calling you to do. Let's stand and sing.